Hi, I'm Amanda Pacheco.
This is Sheila.
Hello, it's Davida.
I'm Gina Lovato.
Hey, it's Alana Dunn.
I'm Caitlin Bailey.
This is Melissa Novak.
It's Sean Jacobson.
Hey, it's Bethany Nicole, and welcome to Sex Party.
And welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Sex Party with your host, Dustin Rybka.
Hello and welcome to Sex Party. I'm your host, Dustin Rybka. And guys, this is it. This is the season one finale of Sex Party. This is the final episode of the first season of this podcast. I can't fucking believe it. It's been a full season. It's been a full calendar year. YouTube has not taken me down. Apple, Spotify, they've been awesome. I have champagne standing by, right? Because why the fuck wouldn't we? You know how it is around here. During the first season of this show, I get asked about a handful of episodes. Some you might think I would get asked about, and others maybe not so much. But the one that I get asked about a lot is episode 9. That was with Jackie Pugh. During that episode, we talk about me being abused by my stepfather growing up, and I get asked a lot of questions about it. So for the finale, I have brought back Jackie Pugh. Jackie is a master practitioner of neurolinguistic programming. She's also a freedom and fulfillment coach. Jackie and I are going to dive back into the abuse. So I do want to give a trigger warning there. There is violent abuse towards children that is talked about. It's not a ton. It's not over the top, but it's there. We also talk about how that abuse has affected my attachment styles and dating, partners, sex, all the things, and how that led me to be in relationships with women who were taken for the most part, and then how all of that leads very neatly into the relationship I'm in now. There is a ton there. There's a ton of value there about attachment styles, ton of value there about moving on, doing something different, taking a chance, right? All of that. At the end of the episode, we talk about how this podcast, Sex Party, has changed my life. So to that, I say cheers with this shitty, cheap champagne. Cheers. And enjoy my conversation with Jackie Pugh.
This week's conversation.
Jackie Pugh, welcome back to Sex Party. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. This is the end of season one. This is the season finale. So if you're tuning in and you're hearing this voice, like, this is the end of the first season of Sex Party. So I'm really excited. I feel a lot of emotions actually today. I feel very like charged. I feel very like happy, jazzy, maybe. I don't know.
Jazzy.
Who knows? Yeah. Jazz hands. Yeah, I did a little jazz hand there for those of you on YouTube. You were here in episode 9 at the very beginning of the season. And it's kind of a wild episode. I wanted to bring you back for the finale. People will see why shortly. But I'm wondering if you could give a little update on what you've been up to, who you are, what you do, just to recap for these people who might have fallen asleep at the wheel somewhere. Who are you? What do you do? And what is new with Jackie Pugh? I did not mean for that to rhyme, but it rhymes. So
totally rhymes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. For anybody who doesn't know who I am a master practitioner of neurolinguistic programming, a freedom and fulfillment coach, and I help you figure out why you are the way you are. To sum it up, like, why you are the way you are and what to do about it in order to create changes in your life that you desire, right? How to stop those ineffective patterns over and over and over. If you're anything like me, I dated the same type of person on repeat. I get so upset. My soul would get sucked out. I would blame everybody. But at the end of the day, guess who that common denominator was? It was me. And so I got to do something about it. So if you go back and you listen to our episode 9, call Dustin out on his shit.
Yeah, you definitely did.
His repeated patterns. And we're going to wrap it up today. So I'm excited about that. Projects that I have going on. We just launched our podcast, my girlfriend and I. She's a love coach. And I primarily work with singles. Our podcast is called Stop Fucking Settling. We say the shit your friends won't say. With the real Asian search, Oh my goodness. I might have to do that. I don't know what is going on with me today.
That's all right.
With the Relationship Babes, R-E-A-L, Relationship Babes, Jackie and Erica. And it comes out every Tuesday. And we talk about our dating lives and our love lives and experiences that pop up from our clients and life and common themes that we see with patterns and themes between other people. And we crack up crying, laughing usually during it. But you always come out with some type of value, And then I have a bunch of downloadable programs. I don't know. I even told you, Dustin, I have like 5 new downloadable programs that are about to launch. So whether it's dating do's or don'ts or how to keep the girl, or if you fully want to change your life or you just want meditation, or soulmate manifestation, masturbation, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
all the things for you guys. So that will be coming soon. But I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. So how long have you been doing your podcast?
It just launched on Singles Day, which is 11/11 and my angel number, ironically.
Nice.
Or coincidentally. So November 11th, 2022 is when it came out.
So yeah, no, I mean, who wouldn't? You guys, like, with all the expertise, but then cracking up hysterically. I mean, because I've seen the clips and I'm like, this is fucking gold. And like with my show, with this show, a sex party, the elevator pitch is like, it's a tightrope walk between value and chaos. Sometimes it goes a little too far in one direction and we snap it back. Like, that's it. That's the elevator pitch. Because I think you do need both. You have to, like, you know, you have to give the listeners, the viewers, the audience something, but like, we can do it in a fun, maybe drunken way sometimes. It's hilarious. I don't know.
Well, that's the funny thing is that it all got started because I thought I was going to move to Austin from Chicago. Dustin and I are both in Chicago. And so I had an acquaintance in Austin, which was Erica. And she's like, oh, I have a furnished studio above my house if you want to rent it. So I went and I rented it. And speaking of attachment styles, which is what our episode was on, episode 9, she can sway more avoidant and I can sway more anxious. So we would get into conversations, not drinking at night, but eating our peanut M&Ms and peanut butter M&Ms. That's what we save it for. Cracking up laughing, and we would get different viewpoints. And I think it's really important for people to see, whoever it is that you're interviewing on here, none of us are perfect. We're still human beings. We still experience things. Things from our past still pop up and we can work through it. So no matter what gets shared on here today, I'm just letting you guys know I'm also not perfect, but I have the tools to move through it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's literally my brand, I think, a bit, just to be a chaotic mess. So, I mean, you know, like, you can be a chaotic mess and lead other people who maybe are also chaotic messes, like, through, it's okay. Everything is great. You can be, life is chaotic and a mess. So fuck it. Right. Like, I'm done hiding. And not that I ever did, but you know, I started a podcast. It's all over the internet. It's called Fucking Sex Party. Right. So it's like, I never really wanted to hide. And so, and you'll see in this episode, I'm not hiding from anything. And so I think that's a decision that you have to make on your own. But you're right. Nobody is perfect. And it's okay. Like, perfect, to be honest, is fucking boring. It's so boring. So boring. Yeah, it's predictable. It's quiet. It probably doesn't do anal. It's very boring. So, like, whatever, right? Okay, so speaking of chaotic messes, you know, doing a full year of the show, a full calendar year. I can't believe I'm even saying that. It's fucking crazy. And it's crazy that no one has come and taken my microphone away either. But doing a full calendar year of the show, there's many episodes in the catalog. Wow, I have a catalog. Sorry, guys. This is just a lot, okay? But
catalog. Catalog you got.
I mean, 50 some episodes, 3 specials. Jeez, it's a lot. It's a lot. We're proud. I'm a happy podcast father, you know, all the things.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much. I'm proud of YouTube for not removing my stuff. So yeah, there's just been many episodes that I get comments on. Episode 50 gets a lot of comments, negative and positive. There's other episodes that maybe I said something, people want to know more about that. But the episode I would say that gets the most emotional mileage is episode 9, your episode, right? Because you actually uncovered through a series of questions about my avoidant style of attachment that I was abused by my father, my stepfather, when I was young for an extended period of time. And so I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say, hey, that was really cool. You shared that. Are you going to talk about it more? I'm interested. A lot of mothers, young mothers that are like, I can't imagine that happening to my child. And like, people actually told me they cried, which I couldn't believe. And so I thought for the season finale, at least for the first half of it, depending on what happens here, that we would dive back into that abuse storyline, right, from my childhood, and maybe how it's affected how I have moved through the world. You know, we'll see where this goes. So I just think it's important to address, and I thought for the final episode, why not, right? Why not make myself the focus of some crazy shit? So, you know, I'm glad that you're here. I feel like I'm in good hands. You can be my therapist for the hour, and we'll see where it goes.
All right, let's dive in. What's Dustin got for me this time? What are we uncovering?
Yeah, I think just the idea that for me, right, I did think about that abuse. I did think about being hit and you know, being slapped or thrown downstairs or pushed into wall and those things. I did think about it throughout my life, but I never really thought that it was something at the forefront that was like guiding my decisions and like who I was. I never really, after a while, I kind of like made peace with it almost and just sort of tried to like just to move on. However, I will say that I tend to, when really shitty things happen, whether it's abuse or a death or a breakup or whatever it is, I tend to just be like, okay. And then like harbor it. Right. And I like to think that I use that for motivation or fuel or whatever. But I'm wondering, is that a thing or is that just like unhealthy practices or what's going on there? If I can't feel it every day, if I'm not walking around angry, like in the front of my mind, is that mean that I've absolved it? Is it something that I can move on with my life and be okay with?
So I think that, you know, in episode 9, we had uncovered that you can lean towards avoidance in relationships, mm-hmm. right? So it's like as soon as a girl, from what I remember, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I remember, as soon as a girl would like you, you'd be like, okay, peace, I'm out. And you would like shut down. And then she would chase after you and then you would kind of keep her around. And then eventually you'd fizzle out and then you would go meet somebody new and it would just repeat, 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 repeat.
Yeah, for sure. And also on top of that, I would also add, if I felt like things were going well, there was some occasions too where I would just like go bang somebody else or something. And I'd be like, I don't know why I did that. It wasn't even great or something like that. I would sabotage too. So
you would sabotage.
Yeah, yeah. Let's throw that out.
Yeah, let's get it all out of there. It's good. Uh-huh. It's good. And I've actually been working with a lot of men lately who have been doing that. And what we have discovered is it actually stemmed from something from childhood. So I know you and I dove into this. I don't know what we uncovered in episode 9 because I haven't listened to it in a year. but do you have any idea on why you would sabotage it?
You know, what's really interesting is when something does feel like it's going well, at least prior to this year, I would just feel this incredibly powerful, literally, it just felt very devious, devilish urge to then like strike up a conversation with someone I know is attracted to me who wasn't this person that I was involved with, or put myself in situations where somebody might have too many cocktails and try to come home with me. I was doing that. And so I don't know why I was doing it, but that was the behavior, right? I was like, I felt very compelled, like, and it would come out of nowhere. It would just be this insanely chaotic thing that I would always want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a couple of things here. You didn't get that love and attention and validation that you desired when you were little, when you were at home. Right?
Yeah. I mean, most of my time at home, my mother was very loving. She was, you know, the MVP parent, right? Worked two or three jobs, was always providing love and food and affection or whatever. So I got a lot of love from her. But I definitely, when I was younger, I definitely spent a lot of time hiding and like tiptoeing around my stepfather because he was violent. And he would have those like unprovoked mood swings, or if like somebody left a fucking fork sideways or wasn't congruent with the other forks, like he could pop off and he would become an insanely violent. And like, he was just a fucking bully, right? Still is. And it would come out of nowhere. So I would spend a lot of time like hiding in the bathroom, hiding in my bedroom, on my bicycle till late at night. You know what I mean? Like as late as I could stay away from the house, could I get the Nintendo in my bedroom and just hide out in there? Stuff like that.
Really quick.
Sure.
Really quick. When we're hiding or we're running away, does that sound like anything that begins with an A?
Well, yeah. I mean, clearly I was avoiding taking a fucking fist to the face for sure.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And you needed to do that in order to survive when you were little.
Yeah.
And so your brain registered, okay, being in a house where there's supposed to be love, okay, from everybody, we'll say, can hurt me. I want love, right? I want to be around my mom. I want to be able to be home. And I know I'm going to get hurt. So I need to put up a wall. I need to put up a shield. I need to guard myself. I need to run away. Now when I'm an adult and I want to get into relationships, as soon as I see that love is starting to come, whoa, where's that shield? Where's that shield that I'm used to? Okay, I'm not able to put up a wall right now. Well, let me go find love. And this is what one of my clients recently discovered that he was doing was when he was in a relationship and he would talk to other girls then, right? Or go bang somebody else. It was because deep down, and I don't know if this resonates with you, but deep down, he felt like more than likely, this person's probably going to hurt me. So I need to have a backup. Like, who's the next person I'm going to talk to? Like, more than likely, it's not going to work out with this person. So who's the next person I'm going to talk to? So I'm going to hang out with this person still. And like, basically, like, I'm beating you to the punch.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sound logic, right? It makes sound sense. For me, I think my avoidant behavior and stuff got so bad that I didn't even register any of those thoughts. I was just like, and to be honest, like, I just lost interest in relationships. And this is sort of where I push back on the attachment stuff. I respect it. I believe it, or else, you know, I wouldn't have had you back. Right. But like, for me, I was someone who really was very picky about the relationships I would want to be in. Right. Mm-hmm. I would say in the last 20 years, there's only been 3 or 4 people that I actually wanted to be in a relationship. And out of those 3 or 4, you know, a couple months in on 1 or 2 of them, and I was like, well, this isn't going to work. You know what I mean? And so that would leave 2, you know? So I wasn't someone who, and I also, like, just to be honest, because that's what we do here, I was also a man who really liked variety in women, the ability to like, maybe have someone that you sleep with and you have an intellectual relationship with, someone you're just like a variety of women. I mean, I'm sure that, like, you know, I'm not the only one, but I was really into that. And so, you know, my career for a long period in my life, obviously, was as like a nightclub promoter, party promoter, event, you know, all of those things. And I was really successful. And what came with that was a variety of women with no attachments, right? Mm-hmm. And so that suited me very, very well, which now looking at it through your lens, like, I'm seeing how that is kind of oddly fitting into this serial killer profile you're building. I mean, no, I'm kidding. But like, no, it does make sense. That part of it you know, sort of epiphany in the moment here.
Well, it's perfect because you can still get your quote unquote needs met, mm-hmm. right? You're getting attention, you're getting validation, and you don't have to get attached to anybody.
Yeah.
Nobody can hurt you.
Yeah.
So if I have a variety, if I constantly have people to choose from, I'm constantly getting the dopamine hit of having somebody be interested in me. My ego is constantly getting fed through validation and external validation versus myself. And I don't ever have to get hurt by somebody else.
Yeah. No, I mean that.
Because last time we spoke, you want it to be in a relationship.
Yeah, I definitely.
And you're like, I'm not willing. You're right. You had, sorry to interrupt you, but you're like, you had the belief, right? Which is still there. And it's okay because now I can't wait to dive into your current situation. But you're like, well, I want to stay chaotic. Like your belief about yourself was, I'm the chaotic mess. So how can I keep creating chaos everywhere I go? And I'm not ready to change that because that's my brand. That's what I identify with. Even though I was like, Dustin, like you can inspire people. Like let's work on this. You can inspire people. You can be like that. And you can, you know, make changes and you can still have a podcast like this and have a sex party. Like
right.
can all happen. Yeah. But the identity there, our ego hates change. If I want happiness, but I've never experienced happiness, I've never been there before. I don't know. I could die. Your brain literally thinks I could die. I cannot do that. I literally cannot do that. An anxious attachment style, if they're like always chasing after somebody, they're like, well, I only texted them 51 times in a row without a response back. Normally I go for 52. If I don't go for 52, like I might die. It literally thinks it might die because it's used to a certain pattern. And so our brain will literally try to replicate what we experienced when we were little. And if you could push people away, guess what? It was just like childhood. Your ego knows how to handle that. It knows how to deal with that. So that's where that pattern definitely stemmed from. And you had some huge breakthroughs on that podcast and you did marinating for like weeks and weeks on it. And you would still message me like, okay, I've really been thinking about this and I know I should probably work on X, Y, and Z, but something has changed since then.
Yeah. Well, and to add, right. Before we get to that next part to add on that. So even when I started to, not only, you know, so while I was doing the nightlife stuff, obviously there was available women of all kinds that just happens when you're the ringmaster of things and all the things. And, there was a lot of fun, a lot of great, smart, beautiful women. Right. But what happened from there, I was still doing that kind of work, also doing social media consulting on the side. And I started to do less parties, bigger parties, but less, right? What happened is I started to exclusively, I would say once I started to sort of slow down with the nightlife stuff, do one or two big parties, New Year's, Halloween, whatever, less of the regular weekly stuff, do more of the social media, is that I found myself almost like exclusively texting, sleeping with, I would say 80 to 90% of the women that I was involved with were either married, in a serious relationship. Okay. And, were, you know, engaged to be married. They were all taken women, right? So
forget about it.
So I think that's very interesting too. And it kind of goes along with some of your stuff. But like the question that the thing that I keep getting asked about this is if you weren't going and finding them and pulling them out of their marriages, because that was like my one top shelf rule is like, that doesn't do it for me. I don't want to go and steal someone, right? And all of the haters, you know, I love you guys for hating because it drives engagement. And I love that you're vocal because a lot of people just like look at things and don't say anything. So I appreciate the hate. But I'll get, it doesn't matter. You still stole them. You still pulled them out. But for me, that's not what did it. If someone approached me and flirted with me, and they go to cross that line and they have a husband, they have a boyfriend, they have a fiance, I would say to them, you have a husband, you have a boyfriend, you have a fiance, right? And I would draw that line. And then my kink, what would do it for me is if they would cross that line. That's what would do it for me, right? And so a lot of people ask me now, okay, well, if you weren't pulling them out, then why for 10 years was it just exclusively women who were taken that you were finding yourself with? So I would ask you that. What do you think? Yeah. What do you think is the common denominator? I mean, obviously me, but like, what is drawing them? Is there like a group I'm unaware of that they're sharing? They're sharing text.
Yeah, there's a group called Dustin.
Oh God, there probably is.
No, but. So much goes into it, and I believe in things like law of attraction and intention setting and all of that. They've even done studies where, just based on how somebody smells, like we don't even like, I had the same type too, right? Like, how did I always find the guy? Always, like, be 30 years old, he could be 40 years old. How do I always find the guy who was like the MVP of his football team in high school? Every single guy I've ever gone out with.
Wow.
Every single one. But scientists have done studies where our bodies, like we actually can smell people and experiences from a distance. Like it can, like through the pheromones and everything, it can literally smell like, this is the type of smell, you know, like dog smell butts, I'll say. Sure. And I'm not an expert in this, so don't like, you know, put out some type of quote from me on here. But how like dog smell butts, and they can pick up whether somebody is alpha or not alpha or submissive or fill in the blank, right? Like they get so much information just by the smell. And so do we. And we don't even recognize it. We don't even recognize it. So literally your brain could be like it can literally be picking up something where this person seems like they're more than likely unavailable. They could even be picking up from you, this is somebody who I can probably cross that line with. And our energy does not lie. Like energy attracts like energy. Okay. Like literally, like there are things that pull us all together. And so what I'm hearing is that from an energetic standpoint, whatever energy you had out there, which was also, I'm unavailable. I'm too cool. People are anxious people typically, right? Our, even avoidance, because of what you just brought up to me, right? Are attracted to that. It is a challenge. Maybe here's a fire that I can play with where that won't happen. Or maybe there's a fire that I can play with where it finally will get me to do this thing because I'm unhappy at home.
Well, okay. So you're saying that I could smell women who are unhappy, who weren't having enough sex, who weren't having their needs met. That's what you're saying? Or like women were smelling me.
It's like an emotional unavailability, like, cause they weren't emotionally available for you.
True. Yeah. And most of them, if not all of them, right? None of them wanted to be my girlfriend, right? None of them wanted to, they wanted to come to Dustin Land and ride a few rides, have some shitty popcorn. This is stale, and then leave, right? They would get what they need. Thank you. And they would go on to the popcorn just was never fresh. But that's not true. I love popcorn, but they would get what they need and they would leave. They would go start another relationship. They'd go repair the one they just cheated on, whatever. And, you know, 99% of the time, it was never like, hey, I want to date you. Hey, they would be like, you know, you're Dustin. You're the guy that I come and bang and like do all the things that I can't do with my husband or my boyfriend or whatever. And like, also, my boyfriend sucks. Like, if I could have you plus like emotional availability, then, and then they would go find somebody who did that thing. So that is very interesting. I mean, it is, because a lot of people say, oh, well, it kept happening because you just didn't deny it. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense because my friends that don't have the same problem. You know what I mean? Like you're saying. So, okay. All right.
Literally to give an example, literally I like rarely ever, at least, well, I don't go out that much these days, but when I was going out a lot, I rarely ever would get hit on. Okay. And then I caught a guy cheating on me. And I was so anxious back then. All I wanted was him. But normally when I would go to the bar, I'd be like, I'm on the prowl. Like I'm looking around, like who's available, right? Like I would just be on the prowl. I had this energy of like, I really want to meet somebody. But this particular night, I got to get this guy back. Like all I could think about was the guy that I wanted to get back. Why I wanted him back, that's a whole other story, right? But my energy changed. And that night, a guy came up to me who I was not making eyes at. I wasn't doing anything. And he approached me and he became my boyfriend. But because all of a sudden my energy wasn't in this place of need, it was retracted. It was like, I shouldn't even say retracted. It just was like there. It was just confident being itself. I didn't need anything from anybody else outside of me. And that attracted people to me.
Well, I mean, there is something with energy. I mean, I can't even put my finger on it, right? But everything you're saying checks out because it is a confidence thing, right? There is something to not giving a fuck. It's like your body language, or in your case, I'm having the scientists check that out, but like the smell thing, like there is something to it, because once you change your mindset, like, I just don't give a fuck, right? I'm going to go out tonight, have a good time with my friends. Every single time I would go out with my friends to have a good time, I'd always end up hooking up with somebody, always, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is over time, I got less and less interested in like hooking up with, like when I was like 18, 19, I think I was like throwing out pickup lines, like trying to pick up girls. And then at like 20, I started doing the nightlife stuff, and I was just like, fuck that. Like I just started focusing on my shit and whatever. And then as soon as that happened, then it was like the next fucking 10 years was just like a free for all. So I just think that you're right. I think that it is a confidence. It is an energy. There is something to someone who's like, I just don't care. I'm not looking for that. Cause when you're not looking for it, that's what it seems to strike every single time. And do you think that's because besides the body language, besides the pheromone thing, do you think that's also because maybe people want to know what's her secret? What's his secret? Why do they not care?
People love mystery. People love, you hear all the time, I got bored. I got bored. I got bored. Like, people love to, figure things out, and people love to feel needed. So if you're walking around with the energy where you not like are pretending, but you truly are like, I don't need anybody. Like, I'm fulfilled within myself. Right. Like, I don't need anybody. But even more with avoidance, where they're like, I don't want you close. It puts off this type of energy where people want to feel needed. They're like, well, maybe at least anxious. Like, maybe I can get them to need me, right? Like, I want to feel needed. Like, what's wrong? Why do you not want to date me? Why do you not want to be with somebody like me? And it can activate a little bit of curiosity and a little bit of anxiousness in people. And I'm a firm believer that, like, why do those things happen as well? Like, when I'm not looking for somebody, why do I meet somebody? I really think, like, looking at my own life, looking at my clients' lives, looking at my friends' lives, that one of our biggest lessons in life is to learn how to be okay and fulfilled. Ooh, I just got so many feelings in my lower stomach. It means it's true. How to be okay and fulfilled without the thing that we most desire. Like, I know so many girls who are like, I never wanted to get married. Like, I had no desire. And then I met this amazing man, and he like really wanted to marry me. And I'd be like crying, like in my late 20s, like, what? Like, all I want is to marry somebody. And you just like, oh, it just happened. But the more that I pay attention to other people's lives and my own, I really think that once we don't need that thing, like, I need the money, or I need the house, or I need the job, or I need fill in the blank. Once we don't need it, all of a sudden we create space for it to come to us. Like law of attraction is, when we're in a state of lack, like, I don't have this thing, there's not enough of this thing, it's scarcity. What if I don't have enough? Our energy is, I don't have enough. So what it literally puts out in the world is, I don't have enough. So we attract more of that. We attract more scenarios in our life to not have enough. But when we're in a state of gratitude and things fill me up, and I'm content just how I am, and anything else is a bonus, all of a sudden there's room for things to come toward us. Like, we're literally attracting it like a magnet with our energy. So I think that's also a part of it as well.
Yeah, because everybody wants the avoidant, right? And until maybe they realize, like, this person is unhealthy for me. I can't. But there is like a primal, like, I want that, right? And like, I think you must come across that so many times in your coaching, like with your clients. Like, listen, I know it feels like you want it or whatever. How do you talk people away from that? You just like convince them, like, look where you ended up each time you went after the fucking model guy.
If it were that easy, I would be a mega millionaire.
Are you not a mega millionaire? I thought you were a mega millionaire. What the fuck?
I'm on my way. No. I mean, our brains can see it. And I was that girl. Like, the guy literally cheated on me, and I'm chasing after him to take me back, right? He was completely in avoidance. He had no desire to be with me, and I'm chasing him down and begging him. So I've been in those shoes before. And could my brain see it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did my body want to do something different? Yeah. So it's literally about rewiring our brain and figuring out why we are the way that we are. Why am I always attracted to those types of guys? Why am I always attracted to those types of girls? Why do we always get into those types of relationships? Why does it always end the same way? Okay, now what am I going to do about it? Like, where did that stem from? How do I change it? Right? We figured out where yours stemmed from. We talked about how we can change it and rewiring your brain and your limiting beliefs and all of these things. And then it's taking action on it. Otherwise, it's just going to repeat. So many of my clients come in and be like, I know I do this thing, whether they're avoidant or anxious or disorganized. I know I do this thing. I do it every single relationship and I don't know how to change it. And so we work on literally diving deep and rewiring all those limiting beliefs.
What if somebody is aware this guy's avoidant, but I just want to sleep with him, right? I just, or this, or I'm like, this woman's avoidant, but she's hot, right? So I'll just like play this little game. We'll sleep with each other and then I'll move on, right? I know that's dangerous or whatever, but let's walk that line a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Is it okay if you are in control, if you're stable, if you are secure in your emotions, is it okay to bang avoidant people then?
I'd say if you're an avoidant and, or if you're more secure where you're like, literally, I know this person is not for me. I have 0% interest and my intention is to go out and have fun. Have a ball. And if you're more anxiously or disorganized attached, like I'm a recovering one. Mm-hmm. And I crack up as you're saying this, but I'm like literally thinking about like 500 of my clients right now who not really, but who will be like, this just happened a couple months, like last month. One of my clients is like, well, I mean, I could just have fun, right? Like I can just have fun with him. And I'm like, you can, you're a grown woman. You are an adult. Yes, you can. And let's look at this. Oxytocin's going to get released. You can't just be like, I'm only going to release a little bit of oxytocin when I go out with him. Or go out with her. Like I'm only going to release a little bit. Your body, every time that you are intimate with somebody, releases oxytocin. And for men, it can last up to like 2 days. For women, it can last up to 2 weeks. And oxytocin is the thing, the thing that makes you feel like you're bonded to somebody. So you literally aren't even going to look at any of those red flags. You're not going to look at if you guys are aligned. Your body feels attached. That's where the word comes from. You feel attached to that person. So many of my clients are like, I can go, I can do it. And I'm thinking of even more popping in my head. I'm cracking up at the scenarios. All of them ended up catching feelings. Mm. It wasn't a one and done thing. Every single one of them caught feelings.
Mm. Man.
I'm like yelling right now. I'm getting very passionate.
No, we love it. We love it.
So if you're more anxiously and disorganized attached, I would say no. Enjoy and observe is one of my coaches puts it. Enjoy and observe them. Do not go there. Do not go. Get to know somebody first. If you're more avoidant, that's probably the name of your game. So
sure,
it's not going to affect you as much. Or it'll affect you, but deeper down. Like you're not going to be the one reaching out, but it might, sure. It could depress you. It could make you feel really, really bad about yourself inside.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think most people don't know what they are attachment wise. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that being said, I was sort of like, I sort of blundered into this whole fucking thing. And I learned like very quickly in episode 2, the attachment styles. And I was like, oh shit, I'm avoidant as fuck. So that sort of framed even your episode and how we move through the show. We haven't talked about attachment styles in a while. So this is really, really great to come back to it on the end of season 1. two things, right, that I want to get your professional opinion on.
Yeah.
One, so if my stepfather wouldn't have beat the shit out of me, I wouldn't be great with women? Is that like, because that made me avoidant and then made like whatever. So should I send him a thank you card or?
Well, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
I'm sure. whatever way looking at it makes you feel good, go for it. Go for it.
Okay. Well,
in essence, I shouldn't think great with women.
No, not at all.
Right? Not so much. Right?
No, not at all.
But to get instant gratification, sure.
Yeah. 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 That's so funny. Okay. Well, that brings me to the second part because it doesn't make me feel good. And this is like more serious. Like I'm kind of giggling through this shit or whatever, but this is really, truly serious. And I love that I have you here for it because I sort of let go of all that abuse, even though a lot of it was pretty gnarly, was pretty bad. I let go of it at a certain point, like into my late teen. I mean, I got tall enough to where he could, I mean, I outgrew his ass. You know what I mean? So like, I'm 6 foot tall. He's 5'8" or some bullshit. So like, I outgrew him and his Napoleon complex crap, right? His passive aggressive bullshit. And so he couldn't really fuck with me anymore. He tried it once when I was like 19 and I put him in a headlock. That felt amazing, by the way. And he just couldn't do anything about it. So there was that aspect, but then he kind of like mellowed out and became like a good dude. And I had this notion, right? Where it's like, maybe I just let it water under the bridge it, right? And we developed a really great relationship and I loved him and whatever. And then about 2-3 years ago, he had a stroke and he just came out of that stroke completely different. He started acting like he did when I was a child. He started treating my mother very shitty. He started, being an asshole, like almost like targeting me again. Like during the pandemic, when I was there at my parents, he would just be like, he kind of like shoved me a little bit and whatever. And I'm like, are you serious? You want to go? Like what, you know, like that started all up again. And what it did is it unlocked all of the shit that was back in the day. And now I'm going to be honest with you. I'm very angry. I'm very angry that I do have that rage inside me. And it's not something that drives me. It's not something that whatever. I can pause it. I can put it on mute. I can do all the things. But I wasn't angry before. And now that he's gone backwards and is just a monster again, I am angry and I am estranged from my family for that reason. Right. And so I don't know what to do with it.
One, there's a whole process I take my clients through, but to sum it up, I gave you permission to feel it, but in a healthy way. You gotta let that anger out, not on him, not on anybody else, not on yourself, but go let it out. Go get a primal scream out. There's rage rooms. Like, have my clients go to rage rooms. Go get the anger out. And number two, have you ever shared with him how that makes you feel?
There was a moment. I think his approach is more like, yeah, I know I did that. It was terrible. So what? Or he'll do the other thing. Well, it wasn't that serious, you know? And now like my sister is having like flashbacks and shit. Cause all of it kind of came to the surface again. Oh my God. I remember this, and this. And you know, doesn't feel great about it. My mom doesn't feel great about it. You know, it's everywhere. And, you know, I would say it's really in my subconscious. I have insane nightmares about it all of a sudden the last like 2 years. Mm-hmm. And this is all stuff, you know, I'm a high functioning, productive person, right? When I want to be. But it is sort of there all the time. It is on my shoulder, it is in the back of my head. I'm not sure that, you know, a primal scream, I mean, those are so much fun to do. Like sometimes I open the window and no, but like they're fun, you know, like just do them at night, scare the hell out of everybody in Chicago. But that's a lot of primal screams, I feel, to like get rid of the crazy nightmares and shit, right?
I'm not surprised that you're having crazy nightmares because a lot of times, like our dreams, a lot of times are things that we don't process during the day. So I really feel, and I know that you're always open to like say it like it is, when you're ready to tackle that, those nightmares will start to subside. Like when you're ready to get help, when you're ready to talk to someone like me or a therapist or any other coach that you had on here, and you're ready to tackle that, that will subside for you. That's big stuff. It's not little stuff that you went through. It's big stuff that you went through. And being somebody, I don't know if we talked about it in our last episode or not, but I had emotions that I hadn't dealt with from a breakup where, super long story short, the doctors didn't know what was wrong with me. I needed 3 to 5 hour long naps every single day. Every single day, I'd be like this. And then literally like it was like something slapped me across the face out of nowhere. And I would have to go lay on the couch, cancel everything for that day until I would get over that hump. And then all of a sudden I would start to like feel normal again. And what we found when I started seeing a holistic doctor who ran different tests on me was my adrenals, which is where we get our energy from, was almost completely gone. Okay. They were almost completely shot. My hormones were that of a postmenopausal woman. I was like 32, 33 at the time. And good bacteria in your digestive tract should be like 120 to 280. I had 12. That is what regulates our hormones, our mood, our intuition, like everything. I had 12. And so she was like, Jackie, there's something wrong with you, but I don't know what the cause is. And then one day I had a realization that I had never dealt with the breakup that I went through. And I had just released my program Burn, which at the time was for breakups. And I was like, oh my God, I'm such a hypocrite. I'm such a hypocrite. So I didn't give it to the public. I should say I just finished it. So I didn't launch it to the public, and I became my very first client. And I put myself through it. And I went through the emotional clearing that I take my clients through on a Sunday. And the following Friday, I saw my doctor, and she's like, Jackie, I don't know what's causing this. I was like, Rachel, I'm going to tell you. I did this thing on Sunday, and I haven't needed a nap in a week for the first time in 3 years. And then all of a sudden, a light bulb went off in my head. I was like, oh my God, literally exactly 3 years ago is when my breakup happened. I've needed a nap every single day since then. And she looked at me and she was like, Jackie, that's all emotions. Well, we don't cry, our organs cry. So you know how like sometimes you can feel like, okay, I dropped it, I let it go. But energy, emotions are energy in motion, and they're meant to come through, and we experience them in the past. But a lot of times they come through and we're like, that one's not cute. I'm going to shove it down and I'm going to carry it with me everywhere I go. And like energy attracts like energy. And I'm going to, as one of my other coaches says, our emotions are like a beach ball. So when you try to hold a beach ball under the water, eventually it's going to pop out. You held that beach ball like a champ under the water when you're like, I'm going to let it go. And then all of a sudden it popped out when he showed back up the same way. Right? It was still inside of you. And it's like a mass energy. It's got to go somewhere. So it stays inside of us. And so you get to, when you're ready, and there's no right or wrong or perfect timing or anything like that. But when you're ready, you get to work with somebody on that, because that doesn't get to run your life anymore. You get to get your power back.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, I do have a dark sense of humor. I do have dark impulses that I don't shy away from, all of the things. Right. But in my core as a person, I love to do what I think is right. I always like lead with my gut, with what I think. And so it is hard to want to be really productive and proactive and put out this podcast, will never miss a week and do all the things and all the insane other creative projects I have. Like, I'm really driving and working and really exhausting myself because I want to be doing that. And then to have that thing, that anger, that rage, that darkness, like kind of pulling you back, mm-hmm. I will freely admit in front of the audience and you that it is really difficult to manage both, to want to like live a hopeful, brighter life, but also feel like your past is like stalking you almost.
Yeah, I'm sure. Does it feel really heavy?
Yeah, it feels inescapable. And to me, I can have a great day, whatever. But you know, those great days, not to fucking bum it out even more, but like are fewer and fewer now, right? And also, because there's just this thing in the back of my mind, and also at the same time, when I go to sleep, I would say 7 out of 10 times, my stepdad's there, right? Or it's like some fucking crazy anime Disney villain that looks like my stepdad, right? Like, and it's violent. They're violent dreams. They're like, you know, wake up like you're having a heart attack dreams. Like someone's knocking on your door like crazy. I have that dream all the time. Someone's trying to break into my apartment. And so I'm dealing with that. And the last couple of years, they've done nothing but just sped up and gotten worse. It used to be 1 or 2 a week. Now it's like 6 or 7. So it's harder to sleep, all of that fucking fun stuff.
Well, thank you for being honest about it. And I'm sure so many people listening can resonate. And I'm going to put you on the spot again.
Sure.
Do you want to change that? Or are you attached to that old identity of that little boy in that house with that figure? who needs to be an avoidant, who needs to keep his guard up, who doesn't face emotions, who avoids things that don't feel good, do you want to keep that identity? And it's okay if you do. It served you for a long time. But if you want to have that hopeful future, you're going to have to let it go.
Yeah, I mean, no, I have no interest in anything from my past. I want to get rid of all of it. I want to learn from it and take what I need from it and move the fuck on. Like, and I want to do it quickly, healthily, all of the things, right? However long it takes. Like, I'm committed to be for myself, because to be honest with you, this kind of drag, this kind of energy eventually will kill me, whether that's mentally zap me out or like some other like god awful like health fucking bullshit. I can feel it. When I say it's a drag, it's a pull, and you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Like it pulls on you. And when you can't sleep, you know, when you sleep, you go from sleeping like 6, 7, 8 hours a night to like 3 or 4, and then you like 1 or 2 waking up over and over again. It's nasty. So no, fuck that shit. Mm-hmm. We need to fucking get rid of Freddy Krueger and all of his bullshit can leave, right? Like we're fucking over it big time. So no, I plan on doing something about it into this new year, right? I plan on really aggressively. I have taken steps, right?
What steps have you taken?
Well, I mean, I think I definitely need to get, and I'm in search, I'm on the hunt for a therapist that I trust, right? There's a bit, it's very different looking for a therapist now than it was 2 or 3 years ago. I've been in and out of therapy the last 10 years, and it's fucking wonderful when you find somebody good. I've only had like 1 or 2 weird experiences, nothing too bad. But I just think right now, because the pandemic kind of blew everyone's minds, right? There's a bit of a lull in the available psychiatry, right? So we're on the hunt. We have health insurance finally. We can fucking, you know, slow clap for that. We're working on it. So I definitely want to get with a therapist. I want to get into like intensive therapy for it. I want to work through this shit for sure. There's one the thing that I would add too that I really want to get your perspective on, right? With everything that we've said, another thing that came to me because of Sex Party is that now I'm in a very serious relationship. I'm in love. People who have listened to episode 50 will know what I'm talking about, right? But I don't show up avoidant in that relationship. And it's insanely weird, right? I actually show up like really fucking secure. And I think, right, because that's the way that she showed up in my life. She's very consistent yet patient yet honest, right? And I think those were qualities that to me kind of disarmed my avoidant behavior a little bit. And also, like, I was just as blown away as I said, like I say, like, you know, the control room in my brain is like, what's going on here? We have no answer for this. How is she making it through all the security protocols? Cause that's what it felt like. I freely admit, like I have on previous episodes, she was a guest on the show in episode 19. She's a relationship coach. When she showed up on my show, it was very professional, at least for me. She said she, you know, she had some things going on, but like, whatever. I kept it very professional. I had no intention of anything happening other than just like a professional chat, right? She was engaged when she was on my show in episode 19. And now, clearly, obviously now she's not. But I think there's a lot of interesting things that I'm throwing at you that you can dissect and ask questions about, whatever. But one of the theories is that when she showed up and she was engaged, I did just classify it as, oh, she just needs what all these other taken women needed. And I'm cool with that. So like, I opened myself up a little bit to provide what she needed for that. And now we're in a relationship, you know, and it's committed and it's monogamous. So,
wow. How long have you guys been in a relationship?
So we officially started dating in September. So what the fuck is that? Yeah. So it's like 4 or 5 months, you know?
Okay. So, and I would need to know a lot more details, but from what you just shared with me, and I know we had a little talk before we hopped on to record here, and I did get permission to ask questions.
Yeah, ask away. Fire away.
So you had mentioned that she's more secure and sometimes she can have moments of avoidance where it makes you go, hey, what's going on, right? A secure attachment can be in a relationship with an anxious, disorganized, or avoidant. And they actually can pull out security out of those types. Those types can end up feeling more secure because they're okay. They're okay. You need space. Cool. I know you're not going anywhere. Take your space. I don't care. Mm-hmm. You need more. You need me to tell you that I love you and I miss you more? You need more physical touch? You need to hang out more? Okay, I can do that. No big deal. Great. They show up in a way where they're able to not take their partner's actions as meaning something about them. They just take it for what it is. This person needs space. They're not, the connection between us is not broken. It's okay. And with her leaning more to the avoidant side, it makes it even easier for you, would be my guess. It makes it feel even safer. Because if she was secure and leaned a little bit more towards anxious, which is where I'm at now, I'm more secure, but I'll lean a little bit more anxious, that's going to push you away. It's going to trigger all your old stuff. And then your avoidance is going to trigger more of her anxiousness. And then you get back into the anxious avoidant trap. But I think that you found like a very healthy mix of attachment styles for your attachment style. That's what I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, first of all, I love that, what you said, because you're so good at, and obviously because you're an expert in your field, right? But like, you're so good at like breaking it down, like, and it being like a fluid breakdown that's like moving as you're saying it and explaining it in a way that like makes sense. It's not a 20-minute thing with a fucking diagram, like, but you know, you totally like hit that in two paragraphs of why that works, right? So I think that's like a testament to how fucking great you are at what you do. But I think it's also like, I think you're right, because you know, the thing about her and I that we didn't really get into a lot on the episode that she came back for, episode 50, but the communication there is something that I've never had. Like when I feel like most people play games, like on some level, there's all sorts of games going on. With her, like there's no games, right? Mm-hmm. And if one of us smells the other one, like playing a game, we call each other out. Like I felt myself like passive aggressively in the kitchen, you know, just kind of like, I'll just fucking whatever. I was thinking it. It was just creeping into my brain, right? My rotten little brain. And I was just getting there, like tickling my brain. And she like got up off the bed, walked over to me and said, "What's going on?" I'm like, "Are you psychic?" She's like, "Well, maybe, but then we disarmed it." I told her and that was it. And then we moved past it. And like people like that to me are just next level, because they're so intuitive, right? And again, she's a relationship coach. And they're practiced, but they have that innate, anchored sort of a talent like you do, right? Like how you just broke that down. And for me, for someone who's avoidant, that communication piece is fucking everything, because if she is coming over and saying, "Hey, I'm here, I'm open, I'm vulnerable, this is, you know, what's up with you," then that opens me up to just say everything. And like, obviously, you know, they know me, you know me, like I don't hold anything back. So like, it just works. And I think you're right. Like communication for that, I mean, for any relationship, right? Like communication it's hard sometimes. I think I'm only good at it because I stopped giving a shit and like have practiced being honest over and over and over again, even if it's bluntly painful, right? I still do it. And so I just think that if I had to give any advice, which, and I'm not qualified to give any advice, but I've been doing this show a year, right? It's that fuck, like communication will save everything. Do you agree?
Yeah. And the beautiful thing though is, well, two things. One, Have we talked about energy? Like just a few minutes ago, right? Like I'm at the club. Like, how do these girls know? Your girlfriend wasn't in the same room with you and she knew. It was your energy that she could feel, right? She could feel a shift in energy. That's how powerful our energy is. And maybe she also is maybe a little bit psychic. Maybe she can, you know, get hits like that. Sometimes I can. Other thing is, and I want to honor you for this, is a lot of times avoidance will just be like nothing. Like if she came in the room and was like, hey, what's going on with you? Nothing. Now I'm shutting down even more because you're asking me about it. And you said, I'm not doing that. I practice honesty. So fine, I'm going to be honest. And you chose to communicate. A lot of times avoidance don't feel safe. They don't want to talk about the things. They don't want to talk about it. Hopefully it'll just go away and they'll shut down. But you actually stepped up and communicated with her. Now, the next thing that I would encourage you to do is next time you notice whatever that little thought was rumbling in your head, what is it, tickling your brain? I think that's what you said. Next time that pops up, I challenge you to say something to her before she has to ask what's going on.
No, I love that. And I think you're right. And I love that. I love the challenge of that because you got to give as much as you're getting or it's just not going to fucking work. And like, listen, I still hate relationships. I think relationships are fucking terrible. I think they're expensive. I think they're fucking overrated, right? But I'm in one and I'm in one because I want to be in one because I'm in love with the person that I'm in a relationship with because of how she showed up. She shows up consistently, how she sees me, how I see her. I'm happy where I'm at. I really want to stay and work and fight for it if I need to, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, doesn't mean, and you know, to get back to how this episode all started, right? To take it back to episode 9, to the beginning of Sex Party, I was worried that I couldn't be a chaotic demon, right? And be in a relationship. I was wrong because you can totally be a chaotic maniac and still be in a relationship and have great things happen. It's just about finding someone that you can connect with and be honest with, I think, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was scared of that. I was scared at the beginning of Sex Party, like, because the show, you know, premiered to some pretty amazing attention, like right off the bat. And I had people really picking up on, oh, you're chaotic. Oh, you're a maniac. Oh, you're the Joker or you're this or that and da 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 and all these things. And I was like, oh, wow, that's the brand that it's always been. And so that's funny that people are, you know, burning up these first 10 episodes because of that. That was the draw. And of course, like you get a little bit of it, but you also get a ton of value from amazing guests like yourself, right? So you get both. And I was worried if I get into a relationship, Sex Party is going to, you know, become the show where I'm not talking to porn stars. That didn't happen. Not going to happen. It's going to become the relation, you know, the relationship and sex show that's more about relationships than sex. That didn't happen. And clearly, like, I'm just as much chaotic, if not more, because I'm more confident in it than before. So I was totally wrong on that. That was totally, totally wrong. And I'm happy to be fucking wrong on that.
I'm so happy to hear this for you. It makes me so happy for you. So, so happy. Because yeah, you can be both. And that goes back to the identity statement, you know, back then. I think we talked about that as well. Like, you can still be this super cool, fun guy and like talk about your chaotic life that you've had and have your kinks and whatever that you're into and still have this podcast and do whatever you want. Like, we can be both. It's about finding like, standards and boundaries, in my opinion, right? Like, I'm sure like you're in a relationship with her and you guys have certain standards and boundaries. You guys have agreed to communicate. You guys have agreed to be monogamous. There are certain things that you've agreed on and you still get your freedom. Because it's something you guys agreed on that feels good for both of you.
Totally. And you know, to add to that, and again, like all of my exes and people that I started relationships with and abruptly ended or whomever, we'll classify them all as exes. They're all wonderful, smart, fucking awesome people. But a lot of them were just interested in like taming Dustin, being the one who tamed the chaoticness. He doesn't do nightclubs anymore. He does dental advisor. It's fuck what. And that was just never going to happen, right? And like, so those people were showing up. There was a great attachment, connection rather, and it felt good. And then you'd get to the 3 month mark and be like, well, are you, you know, why are you throwing another party? And well, I don't know, because it makes a ton of money and it's fun. Like, and that would really drive me away and be anti-relationship, because they were just interested in like the domestication, the taming. And even like some podcasts that my current girlfriend goes on now, they're like, well, how'd you tame the bad boy? And she'll be the first to tell you, I didn't tame shit. I like him wild. You know, like we're good together wild. It's a Bonnie and Clyde thing. It's not a fucking, hook him up to the fucking carriage and whip him till he drives you to the grocery store. Like that's not, neither one of us were interested in that. And I think that is some old, shitty, outdated relationship model. And, you know, for that reason, I was out, right? I didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah. It's not, what I hear is that you were meeting girls that weren't accepting you for you, right? They liked the idea of you, and they saw quote unquote potential for what their vision was, but you guys didn't have the same vision.
Right.
And so they tried to change you, to mold you, to fit into that vision, right? And some people, like, I like more traditional relationships. There's guys out there that like more traditional relationships. You guys have whatever your dynamic is, but it's something that you both are looking for. It's a mutual vision that both of you had. You didn't force the other person into it. It just flows.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I would encourage everybody to find, you don't have to fit into, right? Another thing I would say from a year from talking to people like you, you don't have to fit into shit. If someone's telling you what to do and you don't like it, leave the relationship. You know, tell them to stop. I almost said shut up, but tell them to stop, right? You could say shut up, but you know, again, whatever. Yeah, maybe not, but like, whatever. You can, but like, stop and don't do it again. And if they keep doing it, leave. Like, I just feel like it's easier said than done, yes, but it doesn't have to be cookie cutter. It doesn't have to be, the man makes more money, so he's in charge, and you can't go out with your girls because I'm worried the bartender is going to try and blow you or whatever. Like, it shouldn't be like that, right? And vice versa, like, someone shouldn't be like throwing your comic books or whatever onto the grass, calling you a loser because you, what, it doesn't have to be like that. And that's the one thing, is I was so grossed out by that traditional model that like I was just writing off relationships, you know, like a year of this show has given me a connection with someone that I probably wouldn't have been open to otherwise, you know.
I love that, and I think that piggybacking off of what you said, the way I would recommend going about it is, if somebody is doing something that you don't like, I wouldn't give them an ultimatum like you have to stop or I'm out. It's, hey, this is how this thing makes me feel. And then, because I like the way, you know, that you just brought it up, it's how I used to say it. It's the way that most of my clients say it. And then they end up getting into bigger fights, or sometimes you'll break up for no reason, right? This is how this thing makes me feel. Maybe it's not your intention. Are you open to talking about it? Now you can have a discussion and see if you can come up with some type of compromise that feels good for both of you. Or you let them know, this is how this thing makes me feel. Is it something that you want to keep doing? If they say, no, I don't want to keep doing it, well, now they have the opportunity to step up into a different light for you. And if they choose not to do that, now you get to decide. Now they're aware of this thing that I don't like, and they're choosing to still do it. Now I can walk away.
Yeah, because you gave them like two warning shots. I mean, come on, man, like whatever. And if they still don't like see where you're coming from, like take a red Sharpie, take the cap off, throw it into the washing machine with all of their laundry. I'm kidding. Don't do that.
That's really good. I never think about how do I dye something pink.
Like, yeah, that's terrible. That's a fucking really bad advice. Jackie Pugh, thank you so much for bringing down the curtain on season one of Sex Party. I'm fucking honored that we did this together and that you went through all of that craziness this last hour or so. Let's remind them where they can find you, where they can like dump out all their money into your PayPal.
Thank you. Yes, please. All of it. No. You can go to JackiePugh.com, or I hang out on Instagram a lot at Jackie_Pugh. If you send me a message, more than likely Instagram is going to send it to the like filtered mail. So I'm not going to see it. So make sure to leave like a couple comments if you're going to leave a message, but I just recommend just applying on my website. And yeah, if you really want to dive deep and uncover all these things and change everything for you, I run a program that's called Burn. It's 4 months long and it will change the game for you. 50% of my single clients have now found loving reciprocal relationships, and my married ones or partner up ones have all improved their relationships. And that gets to be you too. And 100% of them have more self-confidence and self-love and feel amazing inside, no matter who is in their life. So that is my jam, and I'd be excited to talk to you about it.
We love it. Jackie will be back for season two. And yeah, no, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, I'm so honored to be here too. Thank you. And I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye. Huge thank you to my season finale guest, Jackie Pugh. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for going through all that with me. Fucking awesome. Thank you so much to everybody who has watched or listened to an episode of Sex Party. If you listen to part of an episode, I thank you. You listen to episodes, I thank you so much. If you're talking shit about Sex Party, I thank you. You're helping the show to reach more people. If you're leaving wonderful comments, I thank you. If you're leaving shitty comments, I thank you. Please keep doing it. Engagement, it's a thing. And I appreciate the energy behind it, behind the loving, behind the hating. I'm blown away. I promise that season two is going to be even more berserk. I love you guys. If you want to show some appreciation for the show at the end of season one, you're listening on platforms like Apple and Spotify, you could subscribe to the show. You can leave a rating. You can leave a review. Subscribing is the most important. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, I love you. I see you always. You mean a lot to me. You can subscribe to the channel. You could like the video. You can leave a comment. You can share with your friends. Season two is coming right up next week. I will be here with a brand new episode, a season premiere. And as always, you guys can reach out to me in the DMs. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. The party continues next week. Click subscribe and let's make this a regular thing. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SexPartyFM. Follow Dustin @DustinRibka.